Turning to Afghanistan, where the Taliban says it's speaking directly to the US about building relations more than a month after American and foreign forces withdrew. But in an interview with Al Jazeera, the Taliban's foreign affairs spokesman denounced US drone operations in Afghan airspace.
Their violation of our territorial integrity of Afghanistan. It is a blatant and a clear violation. It is against the commitments that the United States of America made in the Doha Agreement. The Doha Agreement clearly stipulates that the United States and other countries as well, its allies, will not interfere in the internal affairs of Afghanistan. They are not only violating their own commitments, but they are also violating international law.
For more on this, let's go live now to Hashim Ahamada, who is in Kabul. Hashim, so on the one hand, the Taliban is denouncing U.S. activity in Afghan airspace, but it's also speaking directly with Washington. What should we make of all of this?
Well, basically, Kim, this shows the dilemma that all the parties are facing in Afghanistan. The Taliban took over, they won the war, but suddenly they found themselves grappling with how to run the country. They need resources, they need cash, they need assets that are frozen in the US. They need the international recognition to be able to move forward. In the absence of that, they will have a huge problem, financial and political, and one day they won't be able to feed their own people. And this explains why they are desperate for international recognition. They had high hopes that the Americans would step in, but the Americans are waiting to see whether the Taliban of today are not the Taliban of 1996 when they first took over the country. And this explains why. On one hand, the Taliban are upset with the Americans because they have intercepted what they say are drones which have been flying over the airspace of Afghanistan. And they say this should stop. But at the end of the day, we've been told by many Taliban officials that there are direct talks with the Americans and they're hoping to convince the Americans to deal with the Taliban. For them, that will be a cornerstone that would pave the way for more stability in Afghanistan.
Hashim, in this interview, it was also discussed the rights of women and girls and their civic engagement or role in civic society. What was said on that front?
Well, I have to say there seems to be a divide within the Taliban about how to tackle issues, particularly giving women a bigger say in the government, women's role and gender segregation. And the decision to put restrictions on girls' education and to deny female secondary students from going to school has backfired in a way or another. Even those who've been asking to end the isolation of the Taliban, like Qatar and Pakistan, have been very critical lately of the Taliban, saying that it's about time for the Taliban to understand that there are realities on the ground they have to readjust with, they have to reinvent themselves to be able to move forward. And this explains why when I spoke with Abdul Qahar Balkhi, the spokesman of the Taliban's Minister of Foreign Affairs, he is saying exactly that we should give the Taliban some time to figure out how to move forward. Let's listen to what he had to say.
We have committed and we have guaranteed all the rights that have been afforded to women in Islam. That is their right to education, their right to health care, their right to work. The process that the world wants us, the steps they want us to take, we are taking them. We have seen progress in them. We understand all the complexities of the current world. We understand it very well, and we are working. But again, I must emphasize that, as the saying goes, Rome was not built in a day.
We understand the world, we understand the different complex political realities, as Abdul Qahar Balkhi said, but then we have to tell our viewers that in 1996, when the Taliban took over, they were a different group run by one single person, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, or the commander of the faithful Mullah Omar, along with tribal leaders and clerics. And then they had a different version, a different worldview about how Afghanistan should stand. They thought that a puritanical conservative society would be the best way to protect Afghanistan. Today, you have different views within the Taliban. You have those who say, we've been doing business with different key players in the world, and we have to understand that if we don't reinvent ourselves, we will never be able to move forward. But you have those hardline Taliban leaders, those from the 1996 era, who still say that if we make concessions when it comes to identity, Sharia law, Islamic laws, giving women more freedom, that could undermine our reputation, but that also could create some sense of discord among the conservatives who remain, I have to say, the backbone of the Taliban movement. Will they be able to set aside those differences and move forward? Well, I don't know at this particular moment, but from talking to many, many Taliban leaders, they do understand that this time the options left for them are very few, and there's absolutely no way they can move forward and get international recognition if they don't make concessions.
Hashim Al-Habara, thank you for that update in Kabul.